Happy New Year. Have you had a good Christmas? Hands up, those who've had a good Christmas, please. Hands down, who's had not a very good Christmas? And who never puts hands up? Put your hand up, please. Thank you very much indeed. I had a good time till I came here on Christmas Day. Thanks to David Cork and Chad. Me and John Taylor are going to sue this church because we did this song, what was it called? The 12 what? It wasn't 12. 12 hours of Christmas. I was sat down. Halfway through, I stopped. John's still ill, aren't you, John? You can't move, John can't. We're too old for this caper. Goodness me. We're both... a few months ago, get a PowerPoint on, please. A few months ago, I was reading my Bible, and every time I read the Bible, the same thing came to me. Every time for 2 weeks, I kept getting enlargement. I kept getting increase, more and more, enlargement, enlarge, increase, all the time. And I thought, goodness me, there's something here. And I said to David, this is quite interesting. I text David with these comments on. He said, save it till New Year. So because we're going to look at that in New Year. So this is about 3 months ago, this was brewing with me. So this is basically, my sermon outline is the text I gave David about 3 months ago. It's about enlargement, about increase, about more and more. We've got a very generous God, haven't we? Who wants to give us a lot. Our God wants to give us so much. He's generous. He blesses us so much, more than we can imagine. And this morning, I've not got a 3-point sermon. Oh, no. This is a good sermon. I've got a 10-point sermon. Beat that. But I'm going to whisk through some of these things very quickly. Others will try and develop. Enlargement. What does God want to enlarge? So here we go. The first one is what David received from God about 6 years ago, David. We have this text, which is part of the verse up there. Enlarge your house. Yeah. It says that in this version on the screen, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, don't hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. That was the theme, this enlargement theme we had. So I'll let David unpack that later on. That's number one point. That was quick, wasn't it? Number two point was about my territory. This is a prayer which a chap called Jabez prayed in Chronicles. And this chap called Jabez prayed a very interesting prayer. We might think, what a selfish bloke this is. All about me. Me, self, self, self. Is it? It says, and Jabez called out to the God of Israel, if only you would bless me and enlarge my territory. May your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain. And God granted Jabez this request. Is that a selfish prayer? Lord, bless me! Is that selfish? It's not, because if I'm blessed, I can bless others. If I'm not blessed, you can't give to someone what you've not got. If you've got the love of God in your heart, you can give it to somebody else. You can pass it on. Bless me, Lord, I can bless others. If I'm a miserable hound, it's hard to bless other people. If I'm a negative person, if I'm always mourning, getting angry all the time, that's not very good. But if I'm blessed and have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, peace of the Holy Spirit, then I'll be blessed. Then I can bless others. That's wonderful. So, Lord, bless me, please. So I'm blessed, so I can then bless others. And that's not a selfish prayer. So that's about blessing. Lord, bless us. The next one is, oops, sorry. Is that me doing that? Are you? Is it you? It's a bit of both. No trouble. We're doing very well today. I'm very happy today. My walk with God. It's a great question, isn't it? What's your walk like with God? What's my walk like with God? Great question. Are you walking with him? Are you on the right path? Have you begun the walk with God? Are you still debating, is it the right path to take? How is your walk with God? We heard in Psalm 23 a few weeks ago, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. We walk with God. Not skipping and hopping, we're walking with God. Have we begun the journey? That's the question, isn't it? Are we on the right path? Are we lagging behind? Are we running ahead? Have we taken the wrong turn? Are we in a cul-de-sac? We once walked with God, but we're in a cul-de-sac now. Let's get back onto the path, because God says here, so David's, somebody said in Samuel, you enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. A nice path to walk on. It's great to walk in life hand in hand with God, isn't it, with Jesus. We're walking with him. He's with us all the time. Even in that horrible valley, he is with us. How's your walk with God? The next one, that we may know Jesus better. We may know him better. And Paul says in Ephesians, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. We might know him better. Many of us here do know Jesus. We know him very well, but we know him better. We should know him better and better. We should be aiming to know him better. How can we know him better, Jesus? How can we spell it? It tells you, doesn't it? We need to have revelation. The Holy Spirit needs to give us that revelation, who he is. We can read the Bible all we want to, but unless you get that Holy Spirit revelation, we'll never twig what it's about. But the Holy Spirit can illuminate the Word of God, and we can know him better. How can I get to know somebody better? How can I get to know, say, Lana better? Answer is, spend time with her. Yeah? How can you get to know anybody better? Spend time with them. Let's spend time with Jesus. More time with him. In the morning, maybe in the evening. Just time to spend time with him. We know he's with us throughout the day. But like David said, Jesus went away on his own to speak with the Heavenly Father. Spend quality time with Jesus. Spend time with him. Do as he says. Read his word. We should know him better. And I like this idea that we do know him, but this year we can all know him better. We can know him better. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? The next one is my heart. David said in Psalms, I run in the path of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. What does the heart mean, the heart? Well, we know what your heart is, physically heart, banging away inside us. I think your heart is the real me. It's the real you. It's you. How you tick inside. Not your body, but the real you inside you. What makes me tick? My emotions. My desires, my will. My thoughts, my passions. See, that person is a wholehearted person. Giving 100%, wholehearted that person is. And you can see like a tennis match and some player loses. That was a half-hearted display, wasn't it? Half-hearted means not probably, 50% sort of thing. Half-hearted, wholehearted. He says, warm-hearted person. Your heart, what's your heart like? Very funny story, I remember hearing this. Asa Hartford was a football player in the 80s. He played for a very small club called Manchester City. And Asa Hartford had a problem with him. He had a hole in his heart, in his physical heart. And I remember the commentator saying this. He said, Asa Hartford's a wholehearted player. And it was a mistake, obviously, but what a thing to say, a wholehearted player. Wholehearted. Are we wholehearted in our service for God, in our love for him? Are we half-hearted? Are we going through the motions? You know, like you can play a game of something and you're not bothered about it, really. Are you with it? Do you want to win playing a game of tennis or something? Are you wholeheartedly into it? Are you coming to church? Is it half-hearted? Reluctantly? Or is it wholehearted? Because it says, enlarge my heart. Make my heart more warm to you, Lord. To other people. The real you inside. To enlarge the real me inside. We may know Jesus better. I've done that, haven't I? I've gone the wrong way, haven't I? Apologise. love for each other. I've been finishing my studies, the Bible on John recently, and this morning I had a free hit. I thought, right, Lord, I'm just going to open my Bible and just have a quick read of something. And what did I read? I read 1 Thessalonians 4, and twice he mentions this more and more. He says this about loving for each other, love for each other. And you are indeed showing this love to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. We urge you, brothers, to excel more and more, loving each other. This church in Thessalonica was really suffering bad persecution at the time. But they loved, they were so generous and so grateful in Thessalonica. But he said, love them more and more. Now, last year we had this, 2 years ago, a theme for the year was about love thy neighbour. Love your neighbour. It's up there on the wall. Love your neighbour. That's not gone, no. We're still obviously loving our neighbour. But that was our highlight of the year. This year's vision is the same. It's Jesus. That's the vision of the church. But we're highlighting again this enlargement thing. That's why I'm doing this today, about enlargement. Loving each other. Love your neighbour. To excel at loving each other. You say you love Jesus. Well, prove it. Love your neighbour as well. Other people. There's a friend of mine who's in Bristol. In his home group this year, they're doing a book called Extraordinary Hospitality for Ordinary People. Extraordinary Hospitality for Ordinary People. And they're looking at the church opening up the homes for each other rather than just little isolated castles around the place. Interesting, isn't it? Are we involved with other people? Or do we hide behind things? I'm hiding behind the pulpit now. Hide behind the guitar. Hide behind your ministry. Hide behind your family. Like, these things are great, but let's not hide behind things. Let's genuinely love each other. Look out for the person who's struggling in your street, in the church, in the community. And, okay, we're doing that. Well, let's do it more and more. Again, let's enlarge our love for each other. Be involved with other people. His church. Let's see his church being enlarged. I was quite amazed when I did a look at some dates. Say that when did Jesus rise from the dead? We don't know. They say it could have been AD 30, AD 33. They're not too sure about the actual birth of Jesus when it was. Some say he was born BC 4. I don't understand it, but it's vaguely around, let's say, AD 30 when he rose from the dead. In AD 64, Nero went ballistic and he massacred all these Christians in Rome. 34 years maximum, and the gospel had gone from a little backwater place all the way around the known world. Rome was full of Christians, because in 34 years, the gospel spread like wildfire. It's increased so much. The word of God increased. So the word of God increased, the preached word of God. People shared the word of God. They preached the truth in the streets, to the friends. They shared the word of God. And it says, and the number of disciples multiplied. Isn't that funny? Maths. And it increase and multiply. Maybe increase could be add, I don't know. But certainly multiply means times, isn't it? It wasn't just a few people added to the church. It multiplied. And we see, don't we, around the world, incredible stories of the church which is buzzing for Jesus and going on. I read recently, the biggest growing church in the world, do you know where they said it was? Iran. Iran, they said. Massive growing church, underground church in Iran. That I read that, I think it was the Open Doors magazine a few weeks ago. Iran. It's increasing so much. In England, we don't see that growth, multiplication very much these days in England. But the church is growing. And David prayed, and David spoke about this, that we pray this year in this church, we grow. We grow and multiply. We enlarge in both in numbers, but also in disciples. Don't want a church full of people who just come to church because it's a nice place, my pals at church. We want a church of disciples. We're all following Jesus together. We're encouraging each other. We're challenging each other. The church, let's see an enlargement in his church. This one's a funny old one. Are you effective or ineffective? Are you productive or unproductive? I mean, strange, isn't it? Peter says this. I love Peter. I think he's my favourite bloke in the Bible, Peter, you know. An absolute twit, but it comes good, doesn't it, in the end? Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, mutual affection. To mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these things, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you effective? Are you ineffective? Am I productive? Unproductive in my Christian faith, in my life? Well, if you want to have more effect or more production in your Christian life, look at these things. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection and love. These things, in increasing measure, will keep us on the go. I don't believe Christian walk, it can be stationary, actually. I believe you're walking with Jesus, or I believe you're going backwards. I don't think you just hang around. I think you've got to actually go forwards with him. And the increasing measure, you'll be more and more effective. Let's look at these qualities, and let's possess them, and increasing measure. And that'll keep us from being unproductive in our walk with Jesus. How effective am I? How productive am I? Increasing measure. My faith is a great question, a great request. The apostles said to Jesus, increase our faith. What a great prayer, isn't it? Have you got faith? I've got faith, but I want to increase, because we can have a greater level of faith all the time. We can have our faith increased. Now, Wes, the other week, Wes came and did some sort of quiz up here. It was like Mastermind or Uni Challenge. I'm more like The Chase or something like that. I'm low form. Right, you lot, wake up. Right, tell me. 10 people. Who are those 10 people? Well done, kings and queens of England. Charles, Elizabeth, George, Edward, Victoria, William, George. The last 10 monarchs of England. Any royalists here? The gallows outside for anti-royalists. A few here are no anti-royalists in this place. How dare you? So those 10 are, How about these 10 here? Who are those 10 rascals? Banks, Cohen, Charlton, Moore, Stiles, Wilson, Ball, Charlton, Peters, Hunt. Who are those 10 rascals? Football. Yeah, they're football players. Thank you very much. Who won the World Cup? One player not on there. Who's that? Because he's still, those 10 have all died, haven't they? Only Jeff Hurst still alive. How about these 10 here? Caroline Flack, Jay McGuinness, Ore Oduber, Joe McFadden, Stacey Dooley, Kelvin Fletcher, Bill Bailey, Rose Ailing Ellis, Hamza Yassin, and Jamie Borthwick. Strictly Come Dancing. Who watches that programme, please? Come on, hands up now. Hands up if you watch Strictly Come Dancing. My wife. Only a few of us. That's a relief. Sue, you embarrass me. Okay. How about these 10 here? Shamua, Shaphath, Ilgal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Goel. Come on, Sether, come in. Your tea's ready. Aren't they great names, these? Who are those rascals? Cricket players. I'm not sure they play cricket. Come on, you Bible scholars. Come on, Pastor. I've got the Pastor. Come on, Wes. I've got them. Come on, Jess. I've got them. Lord of the Rings. The 10 people who had no faith. They are the 10 spies who went into Canaan and brought back a negative report, these rascals. These people had little faith. And the story is this. The story is that, I'll read to you what God said. Excuse me. God said this. Numbers 13. God told Moses, send out 12 men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Send out 12 men, the land I am giving to the Israelites. That's God's promise. God's word doesn't change. God's word's there, sorted. So 12 blokes went along. Those 10 rascals, plus Joshua and Caleb. And these 12 went up into the land, and they looked at the agriculture, looked at the fortifications, looked at the people, and they came back. They saw the same thing. These rascals saw the same thing. All 12 spies saw the same thing. They said, the land is flowing with milk and honey. I don't think that really means it's full of milk and honey. It means it's very productive with milk and honey. The grapes, pomegranates and figs. There were so many grapes, they carried some grapes on a pole back. It was such a massive cluster of grapes. A very, very productive, fertile land. But 10 of them, fear took over. They believed God's word when God said, go in the land and give it to you. They said this, the powerful people there, the giants, they have fortified cities, big walls around them. We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. This is a bizarre statement. He said this, the land devours those living in it. Imagine the land. The land devours. And these 10 people came back with a negative report. No faith that God could do his promise. God could do it. But 2 of them, faith took over. Caleb, Joshua said, hey, we should go up and take the land because we can certainly do it. They believed it. But the people, of course, believed the 10. Hence, that was chaos because they didn't believe God's word. I think that's a very good illustration of faith. That when God says something to us, we can trust him, folks. We can trust God. We can trust him, you know, what he tells us to do. And it's not as though there was no history in it. These guys saw a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud lead them. These guys saw the Red Sea part. These guys saw the Egyptians drown in the Red Sea. These guys saw God produce water from in the desert. These guys saw visions of manna and quail. These guys saw it all, but history didn't believe it. So we need to be people of faith who trust in God's word. What did God do in the past? Did he come through for you? Did he trust God and did God come through? He did, didn't he? So why do you not believe it now? What's the problem now? So we must make sure that our faith is very strong and that we increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. And the last comment, the last thing I've got is Jesus himself, Jesus. It's a fantastic verse which Jesus says, John the Baptist says about Jesus in John chapter 3. Don't we want in our lives and in our church Jesus to be increasing? There's a problem. He must increase, but I must decrease. I don't think we can. In the morning, if you wake up, your first thoughts are about me. What can I do today? Me, rather than about other people and about God himself. What does God want for my life today? What have you got in store for me today, Lord? What can I do today for you? If it's all about me, then I'm sorry, that's not really the way we can increase our faith in Jesus and put trust in him. He must increase, but I must decrease. David, to do a walk for me, please. Could you go to the church, please? Could you give one to everybody of those, please? Thank you very much. I'm fully aware most of us don't take notes. We just listen to a sermon, we go home and forget it. But you can get lost. I'm going to bully you. I've just put those 10 points and scriptures on a card there. I think it would be very good if you went home And if you just want to quick pray now. Lord, thank you for enlargement. Thank you, you want to increase our faith, to increase our love for you, our hearts, Lord. I pray for each of us now, you show us which aspects of those 10 we should focus on. And we should focus, Lord, to a deeper love for you, a deeper commitment to you, a deeper walk with you. So enlargement, the Bible's full of enlargement. The place of my tent, my territory. Oh, you bless me indeed. My walk with the Lord. I may know Jesus better. My heart, my love for others, his church, my faith, and himself, the Lord Jesus himself. So I'd like us to, in conclusion, when you read the Bible, just look at the mores and mores and the increases and the enlargements in the Bible. Have faith and be encouraged that God wants to really enlarge. This year, he wants to enlarge you, and he wants to enlarge the church in Hebron and in Rochdale. So please take one of these home. I think there's enough. I've got a few more if need be. Amen.